Oh, hey, friends, this sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Back here on Sports Talk, getting into our triple option feature brought to you by Bet365. Guys, I'm going to be talking about LSU announcing a jersey retirement for one of their all-time great running backs. They produced some great one over the years, and one of them is getting their jersey finally retired by the school. Charles Alexander, who ranked near the top in just about every major rushing category in school history, he's going to be honored with a jersey retirement this coming season. Had first 4,000-yard rusher in the Southeastern Conference history and a two-time Heisman Trophy finalist. Galveston, Texas native, totaled 4,035 yards from 1975 to 1978, ranking third in program history. His 1,686 yards in 1977, Tigers' highest single season until Jeff's draft pick Leonard Fournette recorded 1,953 in 2015. Alexander had also scored 40 touchdowns, tied for third most in school history, rushed for four touchdowns in a single game in 1977. That was a record for 20 years. That 1977 season saw him pick up an SEC Player of the Year honors, while he was a first-team All-SEC performer and consensus All-American pick 1977 and 1978. After his college career, Alexander, a first-round pick by the Cincinnati Bengals, spent eight seasons in the NFL, retiring in 1985. In 2012, he was inducted into the College Hall of Fame, also a member of the LSU Athletics Hall of Fame. So congratulations, Charles Alexander, his number four jersey, getting retired this season. Jeff, you are up next on the triple option.
My turn. Okay. So today was the final episode of Around the Horn, the program.
Cheers to Around the Horn.
It feels like I lost a childhood friend.
Yeah.
So this show debuted in 2002. It's been on for 23 years. It started with Max Kellerman. Then it went to Tony Reale. They scored the point, like the points and the gamification of it was really cool. Over 4,900 episodes. And, you know, it lost popularity recently. And a lot of people would say, it's the politics, it's whatever. I don't buy that. I think it outlived its usefulness in that what made Around the Horn great was the time it came out, it filled a need that existed of, all these kind of isolated columnists who have really good takes, you don't get access to them in 2002, 2005, yeah. 2007. Now that Twitter exists, I don't need Around the Horn to know what Mina Kimes is thinking or Tim Kalishaw or Bill Plaschke. In 2005, I did. I wasn't logging on to the LA Times. I was going to watch Around the Horn, and it had this really amazing moment. And like, Pardon the Interruption is similar. It came out around the same time, Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon, but it didn't have the gamification element, which as a 15-year-old watching sports news, that helped me kind of tune in and lock in on it. And that's what made it interesting. Now, everything's gamified. Everything is a contest. There's no such thing as, let's just talk about sports. It's all hot takes. It's all who won the argument, right? So Around the Horn is just one of 900 different things fighting for your attention. It has nothing special about it now other than the fact that it was first. And at a certain point, it just needed to end, and it ended. But like,
how many years you said?
23 years.
23 years.
It would have just like graduated college. It's the age. It's almost the same age as the Saints quarterbacks, right? So I don't know. Like, I think people forget how massive of a idea that was at that point. And that's why it has the cachet that it has. It has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with any of that. It's just outgrown its era, and it ended. And that's where we are.
And it started out with the host being Max Kellerman, right?
Yes, Max Kellerman. And they went to Tony Reale. And there were some great columnists on there that like I would have never encountered, right? Like Tim Kalishaw was in Dallas, Jay Mariotti was Chicago, Bill Plaschke. I don't even know what Woody Page did. Moody Page is like 90. He's still doing it, or he was still doing it. You know, and so it was a really cool thing that created an entire genre of sports media analysis. And because so much of it sprouted up, you kind of lost the original, which retired today.
Cullen, close out our triple option today, man.
I'm taking us back to the NBA, where our good buddy of the program, Will Guillory from The Athletic, tweeted last night. It wasn't like a absurd stat when I first read it, and then I slept on it and woke up, and I was like, the more I think about this, the more insane it gets. The Thunder, in the 95 games they have had this season, have had 60 double-digit wins. That is 63% of their games. Imagine you start the game, tip off, and there's a 63% chance that you not only win, you win by 10 plus.
Yeah, the Thunder have been just trouncing people.
But that's why it's a bad product. That's why the NBA is a bad product.
Because the Thunder are so dominant?
Because the games don't matter. Because 70% of the games aren't worth watching. Even the playoff games aren't worth watching. You had a game six, Boston versus the Knicks. All of this, the whole season came down to that. A 30-point win, not worth watching. You had a game seven, Nuggets Thunder. 30-point win, not worth watching. The NBA is a bad product because the games aren't competitive. The best teams cannot be competitive with the other best teams unless they hit 33s. It's a three-point shooting competition, and if both teams hit threes, it can be close. If both teams brick threes, it can be close. If one team hits threes and the other doesn't, it's a blowout, and that's what happens in the NBA, and that's where we are. No one plays defense in the regular season. You play defense in the playoffs. All these teams that shoot all these volume threes suddenly have to shoot against defenders, and they miss, and then it's just bad basketball. So the NBA's just got to figure out how to create a product, because this product they have isn't good.
I think you're just bitter since Tatum went down.
Yeah, maybe.
That wraps up our triple option feature, folks. We'll be right back.